Hello, I'm Kyle Willoughby, and joining me is Claire White.
Hello.
And this is Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, a Nerd Manual. Yay!
Yay!
We're here to discuss new nerd creations, how they were made, and explore the roots of the characters and the stories. Today, we are talking about the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yay, Squirrel Girl!
If you haven't heard about it, it's a comic that started back in January of 2015. However,
it was rebooted.
It was rebooted. That's okay. Claire's going to tell us more about the history, so she will tell us when Squirrel Girl actually started. But this reboot came out in January of 2015, and its most recent issue was released in May of this year.
Yeah, most recent volume.
Most recent volume, yeah. They did a compilation of all the single issues in three volumes. So Claire will be telling us about the history of Squirrel Girl, the comic, and I will be getting a little bit into the production side, the writers and artists, and kind of how Squirrel Girl is shaking up comics right now. Because it is. It's kind of a big deal at the moment.
I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. Claire, please take it away. Where in the hell did Squirrel Girl come from?
Well, Squirrel Girl, first of all, let me talk to you about her powers. And as it, like it sounds, Squirrel Girl is basically a girl with the power of a squirrel.
Powers of squirrels!
Yes. So she has superhuman strength and agility. So and so it's like if a squirrel was brought to our size and could have
fight
all
with
of
her
its
proportional abilities.
Yeah, so it's
abilities.
Pretty intense.
That is pretty intense.
Yeah, she has an enhanced sense of smell, has a 2 to 3 inch retractable knuckle spikes. They're good for climbing and fighting.
Yeah.
Buck teeth. And she can communicate with squirrels. That's a big one.
Squirrels are pretty feisty. I remember when I was at swim camp, a squirrel got in our room, and it was a little scary.
Yeah, I would be scared too. I used to think they were really cute, but as I've gotten older, I've grown scared.
A little bit more worried about the squirrel menace.
Way more worried about the squirrel menace. Yeah, you don't know. So Squirrel Girl first appeared in the Marvel Superheroes, Volume 2, Issue 8, in 1992.
Oh, she's younger than I am.
Yeah, she's relatively new as far as the Marvel canon goes.
Yeah.
She was created by Will Murray, and funny story, he based his character on a girlfriend of his, an ex-girlfriend, who read comics and was really into critters.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yes.
It's kind of flattering, though.
Yeah, she's a cool character.
She's a cool character.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, a little kooky, but
really
kooky,
especially
it.
In the beginning. I feel like she's kookier when she first shows up.
I would
up.
Date Squirrel Girl, though.
Yeah?
I think so.
I don't think I would date the boy version. I don't think I could handle that. But good for you, Kyle. And she was drawn by Steve Ditko. He created her image.
Steve Ditko also, pretty sure, was a co-creator on Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, they kind of are similar.
They have a lot of similarities. He's kind of animal-themed, or it's, I guess in Spider-Man's case, spider-themed powers and abilities.
Spider's an animal.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Science.
Also, they're both young.
Yeah.
And they both talk a lot.
They talk a lot. Very agile.
Yeah.
Fun characters.
Didn't put two and two together.
Good on you, Ditko.
Good job. So Murray said that he basically created Squirrel Girl to bring a lighter edge to comics, the comics he was writing. It was the 1990s, our
early
boys,
90s, yeah.
Alan Moore,
Frank Miller
were really setting
they
the tone.
They were darkening the place up, man.
Yes, and these are very dark comic book writers for those who don't know.
Death of Superman was the early 90s, too. Mm-hmm. Also a bit of a dark comic book
darker
turn.
Tone. Yeah. So Squirrel Girl was kind of an answer to that, a way to inject a bit of humor and a bit of fun into the comic.
Yeah.
Now, when she appears, she is very young. She's 14, like we were saying earlier. And she ambushes Iron Man in the forest. And Iron Man is out there testing new radar in his armor.
Couldn't pick up the Squirrel Girl, though.
No, he couldn't pick her up. And she ambushes him to prove how good she is and hoping that he's going to take her on as a sidekick.
Yeah.
Which he says no. He's not interested. But then they're both captured by Dr. Doom, who is a Marvel supervillain. He's best known as the archenemy of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And basically, Iron Man can't do anything. He's stuck aboard Dr. Doom's ship, and Dr. Doom is going to dump him and Squirrel Girl into the ocean and kill them. But Squirrel Girl uses her squirrely abilities and they're flying over the forest, and she contacts all the squirrels in the forest, and they come up onto the ship, and they cut through the wires, and they save them. And so basically Squirrel Girl saves the day, and they also manage to get rid of Dr. Doom. Yeah. They don't kill him, but they get close.
There's a really funny comic panel in that of Dr. Doom covered in squirrels saying something like, "These vexing squirrels, each time I take one off, there's another one there to vex me," or something.
Yeah, it is. It's fun and it's lighthearted. They also, in the first volume of Squirrel Girl, they do put in this first appearance of Squirrel Girl, which is kind of a fun, quirky thing to see. Yeah, they put it in at the end.
Also, in the third volume of Squirrel Girl, there's a scene that harkens back to Dr. Doom saying, "These vexing squirrels," pulling the squirrels off of them, which is pretty funny.
It's just such a good line.
Yeah.
And so that's it for Squirrel Girl for a while. And she doesn't make an appearance again until 2004, where she's written in by Dan Slott into the miniseries for the Great Lakes Avengers.
That sounds like the lamest Avengers.
You know what? They kind of are. The Great Lakes Avengers is a team composed of useless people. And it was basically a way for Marvel to inject some comedy. And they weren't really used a lot.
Yeah.
And actually, it was a joke that Squirrel Girl was inducted into this group as a sign of desperation because no one else would join them.
No offense to anyone who lives near on the Great Lakes. They are very beautiful. Chicago's a wonderful city.
Right.
But the Great Lakes Avengers, come on, what are they fighting? Champ the monster who lives in Lake Champlain?
Well, that'll come up later, what they actually did, because apparently they weren't that great.
Yeah.
But this miniseries was kind of satirizing comic book deaths, and every issue would kill off a team member. So it was a thing where Squirrel Girl's first sidekick was a squirrel that she called Monkey Joe, and she was very dead set on making sure he was a member of the team, and then he was killed off. During this time, it became a running joke that Squirrel Girl was undefeatable. She defeated some of the biggest villains in the Marvel Universe. She defeated Thanos, which he is a villain that people like Thor and
Avengers
Iron Man have
combined.
Yeah, and they have problems, with him.
He's actually going to be the big villain in the next Avengers movie. It's going to be.
Yeah, I think they should just call Squirrel Girl.
They should totally just call Squirrel Girl.
She'll take care of it. She defeated Maelstrom, and this was actually a pretty significant battle for her because she used an army of squirrels to go after him, and only one survived. And she named it Tippy Toe. And Tippy Toe, she became Squirrel Girl's sidekick.
Yeah.
And is still her sidekick in this current
incarnation. Yeah, she's Tippy Toe's sidekick now.
Right. And she was offered a place in S.H.I.E.L.D., which we've talked about before. It's basically like the people who oversee
the Marvel super spies.
Yes. Because of how good she is. And she said no, because she was happy in the Great Lakes Avengers. And then she appears in the Civil War story arc, which we mentioned in a previous podcast. So the Great Lakes Avengers register with the Superhuman Registration Act, which, again, we talk about it in the Civil War podcast, but it's this act that Iron Man is kind of heading up, and he wants all the superhumans to register under this act. Captain America doesn't. But for some reason, Deadpool doesn't think that they did, and he wants to get in good with the pro-registration movement. So he ambushes the Great Lakes Avengers, is able to take out all of them, and then Squirrel Girl comes in, and she defeats Deadpool. And she does it by giving him little scratches. And the thing about Deadpool is that he basically can't be harmed.
He
can be harmed, but he regenerates.
Yeah, he's got a super healing factor.
Right. So she gives him a bunch of tiny little scratches that are so small that his regeneration factor doesn't register it. So he's just laying there bleeding out until he's turned into the authorities.
He's like paper-cutted to death.
Exactly. But
well,
she's able to defeat Deadpool.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And then after the Civil War arc, she eventually realizes that her team doesn't do anything. And so she leaves the Great Lakes Avengers because she feels like she's holding them back from their true potential.
When really she probably is their true potential.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Good job, Kyle. So she She then appears every once in a while in the new Avengers series, which went from 2001 to 2013. She's attending NYU. And she becomes the babysitter for Luke Cage and Jessica Jones' daughter, Danielle, They're both Avengers.
That's a little nerve-wracking, I feel like. Because if you mess up, you've got two very wrathful parents.
Yes, but as parents who have a baby that people might want to kill,
yeah,
wouldn't you want an undefeatable hero defending your baby?
Defending your baby.
I would want that defending my baby. I want that defending me. And there's, of course, a whole bunch of other little fun stories. One of my favorite is that it's hinted that she and Wolverine had a relationship, but that it had ended badly, so they just agreed never to talk again. And also, she ends up sparring with Wolverine, and she defeats him in one-on-one combat.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, and Wolverine is a mutant that is really, really hard to defeat.
Yeah, yeah. He fought the Hulk and survived, which
yeah,
is a big deal.
So Squirrel Girl beating him is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, it was announced that she was going to get her own comic book series, and that came out on January 7th, 2015. The current one, which
is the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, which is why we're doing this show
which
about
is why
Squirrel
we're doing
Girl.
This Squirrel Girl show.
And then, real fast, just a couple of little things. She is one of Marvel's most powerful characters.
Yeah,
which is crazy. She's this little girl who
with
has the powers
power
of a squirrel, and she can basically take on anyone in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. Yeah, and like a lot of her fights with these epic villains take place off camera. You just kind of see the end. Like, you don't know how she defeated
like
Thanos.
Like Thanos, yeah.
You just know that she did defeat Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is going back to our X-Men episode, for those who heard it. But she started out as a mutant. In the very first, her very first appearance, she tells Iron Man she's a mutant.
Yeah, Iron Man even tells her to go, like, because he's like, I don't want you as my sidekick, but go see Professor X. Go join the X-Men. And
yeah.
Like, no.
And then in the most recent volume that just came out, it's revealed that by her mom that the doctor said she wasn't a mutant.
She isn't actually a mutant.
And a mutant, the difference between a mutant and a non-mutant is that mutants are born with their powers and non-mutants aren't.
Yeah, it's a gene that you're born with.
And there's a lot of back and forth between Disney and Fox over who has the right to mutants and who doesn't. And Disney, who Marvel works with,
does not have the rights to
mutants.
Yeah, and so a lot. So if you listen to the X-Men podcast, we talked about this a bit, but Marvel's starting to, like, quote unquote, reveal that, oh, this character was never a mutant.
Yeah, so they're making sure they keep Squirrel Girl under their banner.
Yeah, under their umbrella.
So that's what I have for history. Kyle,
yeah,
I can't wait to hear about all this production stuff you have for us.
Yes, yes. It is an interesting comic. It's really it's done really well, and it's surprised a lot of people by how well it's done.
Do tell.
So it's written by Ryan North, and it's illustrated by Erica Henderson. And Ryan North is Canadian. You know,
okay.
We have a lot of Canadians coming up on this show. Maybe
I know.
Just,
I think it was more that the Canadian government is what first sent Wolverine
to kill Professor X.
To kill Professor X and X-Men. So we've always kind of, like, now they stick out in our mind.
Yeah, now they stick out in our mind that maybe a lot of comics are coming from Canada, too. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's a lot of Canada is a fantasy land in my mind.
This is an amazing fantasy land of comics.
Comics and fantasy.
And maple syrup.
Ryan North, the author of Squirrel Girl, has an interesting background. He has a major in computer science, and in Squirrel Girl, that's a big thing that she's at college. At least the issue that he wrote, she's at college as a computer science major.
Yeah, and her roommate is too.
Like pretty much everyone are. The sidekicks that kind of come in later are also computer science majors. They're all computer science majors, which I thought was pretty funny. He does have a history of writing comics. He published a web comic really pretty successfully in 2002 that went on till around 2006 called Dinosaur Comics. And he published over 2,700 issues.
All on the internet?
All on the internet. It was normally just kind of like a one-page panel thing, almost like something you'd see in the newspapers back in the day in the comic sections. And it's a kind of witty, funny stuff that he would put out. He also made two Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do you remember those?
I love those.
He crowdfunded a Choose Your Own Adventure book. He did a Kickstarter for it, and it became the most money ever raised on Kickstarter at that time.
Oh my goodness, I remember reading about this back then.
And it was a Choose Your Own Adventure book based on Hamlet.
Yes, yes. And I didn't read it, but I remember reading about it.
It was called To Be or Not to Be, That is the Adventure. And it was put on Kickstarter on November 21st of 2012, and he was asking for $20,000 to write this book.
Did he make it?
He made it, and then a little something. He made over 30 times what he asked for. He ended up making $580,905 on Kickstarter to write this Choose Your Own Adventure book based on Hamlet.
Better write a good book after that.
Well, since he was getting so much money, he was like, all right, I'll just make it bigger with more endings and more options for characters, and I'll have a bunch of illustrations on it. So he just kept making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And because it was so successful, he ended up doing another one based on Romeo and Juliet.
Choose Your Own Adventure, Romeo and Juliet.
Where you have these kind of wacky outcomes. Like one of the outcomes in the Romeo and Juliet book was Juliet ends up like taking over the world with mech suits or something like that.
I like that. I think I like that better than Shakespeare's ending.
Yeah. No, so they're like a lot of fun and a lot of goofy endings. He seems like a really goofy guy. I was looking up some of his exploits online. And he had this time where him and his dog were stuck in a drained pool that skateboarders will use. You know, they skateboard like it's a like a vert ramp. And it had rained recently, so the walls were slick, and he couldn't get out of this pool.
How did he get in the pool?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
But he was posting pictures on Twitter of, like, him and his dog in this pool, and he put, like, his inventory, like, what he had on hand. He had a leash, an umbrella, his smartphone, and he's like, with all the things I have in my inventory, how can I get out of this pool?
Did he get out?
He ended up getting out, yeah.
By himself, yeah.
And all these people would respond on Twitter like, you could just wait for skateboarders to show up and maybe they'll help you out. And he's like, yeah, but it's raining, so I don't know if they're going to come out. And one guy was like, you know, eventually it'll just fill up with rain and you can swim out.
Now that's a good point. Or you could just call the ambulance? You
call 911, but that seems a little excessive. He also, one person mentioned that... Well, if you die down there, then the next person to get out can use your skeleton to get out. So,
like the Goonies.
Like the Goonies. You'll be helping people. So I thought that was really funny. So anyway, he has a lot of online exploits that are fairly well documented, and people know him. And he was writing this dinosaur comic for a long time. So eventually in 2014, Will Moss, who's an editor at Marvel, asked him, like, how would you feel about maybe doing a Squirrel Girl comic for us? And he was like, yes, I would totally do a Squirrel Girl comic, 100%. And he pitched his idea for Squirrel Girl to Marvel as, quote, I want to do a comic for people who don't follow comics.
I think he does that.
I totally think he does that, too. That really feels like Squirrel Girl to me. And Marvel ended up going for it, which is good for them because the comic has done really, really well. One is, like we mentioned before, Squirrel Girl, Doreen Green is her name. In the comic, she's a computer science major. And he mentioned that he wanted to make her a computer science major because, quote, it was nice to see a STEM student that wasn't a dude who wasn't Tony Stark. And Ryan North was also a computer science major. So there's a lot of like kind of computer science-y jokes and stuff.
Because when I was reading it, I felt that there were things that I would get if I knew about computer science.
Yeah, if you were just a little
bit
more
programming. Or if I'd taken some tech classes.
Yeah, some C++.
Yeah, classes. Not my liberal arts degrees.
So one of my favorite things about the Squirrel Girl comic that North was, the way he writes her and that he was really focused on, was that she's not, violence isn't her first, like, problem-solving tool.
Yeah, she's very reasonable. She does try and work out what's going on with the villain.
Yeah, before she resorts to beat him up. And sometimes she has to beat him up, but a lot of times she doesn't.
Yeah, more times than not. Yeah. They just have a nice talk.
So he had a good quote I wanted to mention here where it was, her first instinct is not to beat someone up. It's, maybe we can talk. Can I help? She looks for empathy and compromise more than solving problems with her fists. This is kind of revolutionary in superhero comics. Look at Batman and Superman punching each other all the time for no good reason. Squirrel Girl is inclined to have a conversation first.
You know what? In Batman v Superman, we didn't do a podcast on it, but basically, if they had done what Squirrel Girl had done,
yeah, it's true.
Then maybe they would have just gotten Lex Luthor right away.
Yeah, opened a line of dialogue, seen where each other were coming from.
Realized they both knew someone named Martha.
Yeah.
Right away.
Right away. And they would have had that bonding moment.
Yeah.
So I thought that's a really cool part of this comic I like. So it's the Squirrel Girl comic has received high praise, a lot for its writing, but also for its art done by Erica Henderson. Especially the way she draws Squirrel Girl. I almost called her Squirrel Girl. But she draws Squirrel Girl a little bit thicker. Like, she's not a supermodel with boobs as big as your head, like most of the women in comics are.
I do really appreciate that.
Yeah, she looks a little bit more like an every person.
Yeah, you could be Squirrel Girl.
You just need a big bushy tail.
Don't have that. But it's like with Captain Marvel or Carol Danvers or...
Yeah.
Most of these characters, I'm not going to be that,
yeah,
you know? But
yeah.
Squirrel Girl,
Psylocke.
Like... Yeah, no. Emma Frost, no.
No.
But I could be Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, so she's more empathetic as a character, and she's more empathetic, you know, for a reader, someone reading her. You're like, oh, you can really get in her shoes a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's not, like, super sexed up, but she's still really confident. And I think, and maybe I just have a weird squirrel thing, kind of sexy.
You did say you would date Squirrel Girl earlier.
I did say that, and I stand by it.
Good for you, Kyle. Good for Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. And that's a lot of Erica Henderson's artwork. It's not this super sexualized, you know, skimpy outfit character jumping around. And But she's still confident. Like, she's still...
You could
cool.
argue it's even sexier.
It is. I think you could very well make that argument.
For Kyle. For Kyle.
For Kyle. For Kyle. There are other people out there. I'm sure there are others.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the another great
sure.
thing. Another great thing about this comic that North really, really focused on was kind of the absurdity of the superhero concept and poking fun at it. This comic is almost self-aware.
Yeah.
It's almost a Deadpool comic.
Well, the narrator is self-aware.
Yeah. It flirts with the line of almost knowing it's a comic.
Right. Whereas in Deadpool, just to clarify for those who haven't read Deadpool, Deadpool knows he's
Deadpool,
in a comic.
Deadpool, the character, knows he's in a comic, yeah. And he knows that everyone's in a comic and there are other comics out there.
Right. But Squirrel Girl doesn't know she's in a comic, but the narrator does know she's in a comic.
Yeah. And it's still, there's still a lot of, like, poking at superhero tropes and stuff in it. You know, she's got collector cards that show all the different
villains.
Yeah,
they're Deadpool's cards. Which are great.
And they kind of break the fourth wall in that way with the Deadpool cards, and that's what he does. And if you haven't read the comic, you really should. There's more Squirrel Girl stuff coming out because it's done so well. Both Ryan North and Erica Henderson are signed on to write a full graphic novel for Squirrel Girl, set to come out in the near future. I couldn't find a set date on it. And it's entitled Squirrel Girl Beats Up the Marvel Universe.
Which she can.
And it's kind of a play on a Punisher comic that came out that was called Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I think Squirrel Girl is going to do a better job than the Punisher can.
The Punisher even made a cameo in the Squirrel Girl comic.
Sure did.
Yeah. And it's cool that they're kind of riffing on his, like, he kills the Marvel Universe. Squirrel Girl doesn't kill the Marvel Universe. She just beats him up.
And maybe talks nicely to them.
Maybe talks nicely to them and helps solve their problems and get them off the streets. She's very much rehabilitation versus incarceration.
Yeah, I agree with Squirrel Girl.
So there's another Squirrel Girl novel coming out that's just a regular YA novel, and it's entitled Squirrel Girl Meets World. Obviously, playing off the Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World Disney show.
I'm curious how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, I wonder too. And it's being written by Shannon and Dean Hale.
So not by...
Not by North and Henderson, no.
I guess that's a lot.
And it's set to come out in February 2017.
Okay.
So one more thing before we move on to our opinion section. I just want to mention this because I thought it was really cool and it shows how well this comic's been doing and why it's gotten some buzz. Is that the best-selling paperback graphic book list of September last year had the first Squirrel Girl compilation comic in it. And why that's a big deal is because most of the comics on this list have A, been out for a really long time.
Right.
B, are really well-known. and C, none of them are Marvel or DC comics.
And the only one to make it on there from Marvel or DC is Squirrel Girl.
Is Squirrel Girl.
On the top graphic novels list.
Yeah.
You would think they would dominate that.
You would think Marvel and DC would be all over it, but Squirrel Girl was the only one to make it. And it's up there with some pretty well-respected graphic novels. Persepolis, which and we've both read, which is really good and really, really well-respected. Mouse.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, though.
Which, how old is Mouse?
I don't know.
It's pretty old, and the fact that it's still up there is impressive, but it's up there with Squirrel Girl.
And Mouse is a graphic novel of...
It's about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
It's very serious and it's very sad.
Right by Squirrel Girl.
Right next to Squirrel Girl. So I think, let's move on to opinions. I think you know what Claire and mine's opinions of Squirrel Girl are based on our segments.
Yeah, we don't like it.
It's the worst. Nah, it's really cool.
No, we both really. Yeah. I really like it. I don't want to speak for Kyle.
No, I really liked it too. I thought it was one of the coolest comics I've ever read.
Why is that, Kyle? Do tell.
Because she'll like she'll rehabilitate her villains instead of just punching them right off the bat. And she's so confident and so powerful and seems like a real person. And I love that she's a computer science major and that all her friends, there's some other superheroes in it. Chipmunk Hunk and Koi Boy. And who, you know, Chipmunk Hunk can talk to chipmunks and Koi Boy can talk to Koi. And they're all computer science majors at this college. I just thought it was really fun and really cute.
It is. And we were talking about how it's very self-aware and... That's, I think, a very trendy thing right now.
It is.
Especially with TV shows like The Office or Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Even shows like 30 Rock or The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. There's this idea that like the creators are winking at you while you watch
while
this.
You watch
like,
it.
yeah, we're on to that. But it can also be really snarky, which is funny sometimes. But it's kind of nice because this comic is really self-aware, but it's not... snarky at
all. It's not snarky. It'll make fun of superhero tropes
while loving them.
Not too much in an aggressive way.
Like Deadpool is pretty snarky.
Yeah.
But even Deadpool's cards and Deadpool's influence is really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun and funny. It's not too like aggressively, you're in a comic.
Yeah, also this can be read to pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's very PG.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely very PG, and it's a lot of fun.
Like, I was thinking my boyfriend's niece is 8, and I think she would enjoy this.
Yeah, yeah. My sister would love it, I know. But my brother would love it, I think, too.
Yeah.
It's just, and one of the things that's really nice about it is it doesn't get broody. Like, oh, there's a lot of broodiness in comics. Not even just right now.
No Alan Moore, Frank Miller influence, period. I'm sure there's some other influence.
Yeah,
they influence everything.
They influence everything. Ryan North, who used to write dinosaur comics, incorporated into the second issue of Squirrel Girl. She has to fight a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So cool. And then, like I said, I mentioned this earlier, but her first appearance where she fights Dr. Doom, and he's like, these vexing squirrels, they get off me. She, somewhat spoiler, she fights Dr. Doom with a bunch of multiples of herself from different times and kind of swarms him with squirrel girls. And he does the same thing where it's like, these vexing squirrel girls, get off me. It's like almost the same panel, and it's just really funny.
It's really cool that from that first incarnation of her, that they've been able to stay true enough to that in this later version, too. It's not like the character did a 180 or anything.
Yeah, it's not like Agent Carter.
No, which was, we talk about in our previous episode.
Which was a huge 180. Women in comics, Claire. It's becoming more and more.
Well, I think women are reading more comics, too.
Yeah, this is true.
Because I'm sure boys are reading Squirrel Girl, too, but I feel like this is written for girls. And it's on the bestseller list. So there are definitely girls reading this.
Yeah. And it's written for people who don't necessarily read a lot of comics. Like, that was Ryan North's idea, writing it, was making it for people who don't love comics.
Yeah, and I think if you haven't read a lot of superhero comics, you can definitely enjoy this. The hero is fun and quirky.
Yeah,
and
she's
cool.
The
whole book is just lighthearted.
Yeah.
It's a good romp.
It is a good romp. She lives in the Avengers mansion attic in the beginning of the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
She
truly is
a squirrel girl.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I think it's done so well, too, especially with non-comic readers, is releasing it in those volumes versus the single issues. Because they did release single issues of Squirrel Girl, where you just get the one like short issue month to month. And it did well. It definitely did well. But the volumes where they put a bunch of issues into a volume and released those did really well.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, because I feel like most people, if you're a reader, if you read books, you're more inclined to read something a little thicker, like a volume instead of single issues.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I subscribe to comics, but I find it so frustrating. You know, I forget things, or let's say I get really into a story, but they put it on hold for a couple months and then it comes back out and I can't remember everything that happened I've lost the excitement that I had. I totally understand why the volumes would do better than the single issues.
Yeah. And I'm excited for the new full graphic novel because instead of having to do like a monster of the week thing, which you have with single issues, you can kind of have a pretty fleshed out narrative.
Yeah.
Which I think can be pretty cool.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if, I would think that'd be easier to write too, because you can always reference it before you release it and then fix things. It's not set in stone.
That's true.
We should quickly mention the Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
Squirrel
Anna Kendrick
Girl.
Has been lobbying apparently to be Squirrel Girl.
I think she said out of all the superheroes she would play, her brother told her, you would be Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. I don't think she's read the comic yet, but she should.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I can kind of see it.
She's spunky and little.
She's spunky. My first thought for Squirrel Girl was maybe like not Lena Dunham, but someone Lena Dunham-esque.
You know, it makes more sense, especially how she's been drawn recently.
Yeah. So Clara, Squirrel Girl.
We're big fans. You should go read it if you like comics, or even if you don't like comics, maybe give it a try.
She kicks butts. She eats nuts. Squirrel Girl. So thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I'm Kyle Willoughby.
And I'm Claire White.
And we are Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, A Nerd Manual. Feel free to contact us on our website at dsrapodcast.com. And we would love it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. You can find the show on Twitter at DSRA Podcast. I can be found on Twitter personally at Klex303. That's KLEX303.
I can personally be found at Along with Claire. That's CLAIRE.
And you can impersonally find our producer James at James Fowey Jr. It's James Fowey, FOUHEYJR on Twitter. I'm kind of laughing. That's pretty funny. You can learn more about the awesome, incredible, unbeatable Squirrel Girl on our Facebook page. Our producer, who, if he was a deity, would be more vengeful than just, I think, is James Fowey. Our logo is done by Patty Hyland, who, if she was a deity, I think she would be far more just than vengeful.
She would be very fair.
Very fair. Firm, but fair. And our theme, which we also love very, very much, was composed by Pete Rowan, who would be like a kind of god. He wouldn't care about anything.
He wouldn't at all.
Once again, this is Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, A Nerd Manual. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.